If you're an author or plan to be one, get excited, because this podcast is for you. Book Marketing Mentors is the only podcast dedicated to helping you successfully market and sell your book. If you're ready for empowering conversations with successful marketing mavens, then grab a coffee or tea and listen in to your host, international best-selling author Susan Friedman.
Welcome to Book Marketing Mentors, the weekly podcast where you learn proven strategies, tools, ideas, and tips from the masters. Every week, I introduce you to a marketing master who will share their expertise to help you market and sell more books. Today, my special guest is Casey Demchak. Casey is an expert copywriter and consultant with more than 25 years of experience. He's the author of the book, Essential Sales Writing Secrets. He writes for Jeff Walker's Product Launch Formula team and has written book marketing copy for dozens of authors who've achieved Amazon bestseller status. Wow, we're going to talk about that, Casey. What a pleasure it is to welcome you to the show. And thank you for being this week's guest expert and mentor.
Well, thank you, Susan. It's a pleasure to be here, and I look forward to having a good chat with you today.
Oh, we're going to have a great chat. I know. Casey, marketing copy, strong marketing copy. Our listeners want to know, why is that so important?
You know, Susan, it's really important for three big reasons. And the first reason, it just gives you and your book a much more professional edge. If you have a well-written book, but then your marketing copy, let's say your back cover copy, Amazon description, website sales page, if it's not written well, it just kind of brings down your book. If you have strong marketing copy, it's immediately going to give you much more of an edge and kind of elevate your stature with your buying audience. The second reason it's so important is these days we put such an emphasis on building a buzz about our book through social media. There's so many great platforms out there, but a lot of people use social media to build a buzz, get a conversation going, and that's a great strategy. It's an important tactic. But ultimately, at some point, you need to have compelling marketing copy that's going to motivate people to buy your book right now instead of later or never. And to do that, you need marketing copy that's really going to move people. You need to kind of bring them through a motivating sequence so they'll make the decision to buy your book right now. And the third reason it's so important, and this might be the most important reason, if you know you've got strong book marketing copy that's compelling and engaging and dynamic, you're going to just feel so much more confident about marketing your book. You know, when I've written marketing copy for authors, at the end of our time together, you know, usually they'll say, hey, Casey, I really like the copy. You know, we did a great job. It was fun working with you. But in the end, what they'll say to me is, and now that I've got this copy, I feel so much better about putting myself out there. I feel more confident and vibrant, and I'm ready to, you know, get out there and spread my message and make an impact.
That strong marketing copy, being compelling, I think that's such an important aspect. It sounds so easy, but I know that writing a book is one thing, but writing marketing copy is like a whole different skill altogether. Let's go down that route of compelling marketing copy. What makes marketing copy compelling?
One thing that makes it compelling, and this is very simple, is you need to focus your marketing copy on what readers will gain from your book. When I start working with authors, a lot of times they come to me about a book description that maybe they can use for their back cover and then kind of repurpose it for their Amazon description. If they take a shot at writing their own marketing copy, they tend to start writing what their book is about because they think, well, I've got to describe my book. I have to tell readers what it's about. And that's not the mindset you want to take. What makes marketing copy compelling is when you write from the mindset of, I'm going to let readers know what they're going to gain from reading my book. I'm going to let readers know the benefits of reading my book or the lessons of reading my book. So when you need to focus on communicating to people what they're going to gain, what they're going to get out of reading your book, you have to imagine there's someone sitting across from you and they're looking at you and they're just saying, okay, so what's in it for me? Because when people are looking at Amazon descriptions and back covers and website sales pages, really, in the back of their mind, they might not even be conscious of it, but what's going to make them buy your book is they want to have a clear picture of what they're going to get out of reading your book. And when you focus your marketing copy on what readers will gain from your book, it'll be very evident what your book is about.
And that side is also so critical because people say, well, I've written a book. Do you want to buy it? It's like, why should I buy it? What's the value of the book? As you rightly say, what are the benefits that I am going to gain from reading your book? What am I going to get out of it? And I think that's a piece that people don't always get. Yes. It's like, oh, I wrote a book. That means you're going to be excited about it and want to buy it.
Another mistake authors make who, you know, think, oh, marketing copy, gosh, I got to go into Madison Avenue mode. And I got to come up with something kind of clever and snappy and zippy and sexy. And you don't. When you're focused on telling people what they'll gain from your book, you can do that in a very conversational way so that your writing doesn't have to have some snappy flair to it. It can be very straightforward, very down to earth. If you're letting people know this is what you'll gain from reading my book, you don't have to be, you know, all razzmatazz and jazzy. You can be very straightforward with people. And the authors I've worked with, they prefer to be that way. They prefer to write that kind of marketing copy.
And I think things have changed a lot. I mean, you've been in the industry 25 years. You've probably seen a lot of changes in marketing copy over that time. And I think once upon a time that, as you said, that Madison Avenue, slick, snazzy, clever words are going, but now it's like very conversational.
And it needs to be, because a big change in marketing copy over the last decade is you can no longer be at the top of the mountain speaking down to your audience. Now your audience wants to interact with you. So when you write your marketing copy, part of your call to action is letting people know how they can engage with you, whether it's on your website or on a social media platform. People want to be able to interact with authors. So you have to be kind of down to earth, because you're probably going to end up, you know, if you build a fan base, you're going to have to actually interact with them and speak with them. And you can't come across as the big voice on the mountain speaking down to the crowd. So you can't be in this razzy jazzy mode, because nobody talks like that. You have to, you know, write in a conversational way. But when you're communicating benefits to people, and when you're communicating value to people, you can do that in a very conversational way. And you have to.
Yeah, you have to, as you rightly say, because authenticity, being genuine, wanting to like and trust you, that you've got to be real. And the more real you are, I think the more you're embracing and attracting people to you. And obviously, your marketing copy has to reflect that as well. Talk to us about, let's say, writing headlines. I mean, there's a big thing about how do you write a headline that grabs people's attention? I mean, are there some special tips and techniques that you'd be able to share with our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely, Susan. That's another area where, in fact, that's probably the number one area where authors, when they try to write their own marketing copy, think headline, I've got to write something snazzy and clever. And you don't. Often a very clear benefit-driven headlines are the most effective types of headlines that you can write. First thing you want to do before you write a headline is to understand the goal of the headline. And the goal of the headline is simply to engage readers and motivate them to want to learn more about your book. So if they're looking at your back cover and they read that headline, the goal of that headline is to get their attention and make them want to pop on down and read the body copy. The same thing with your Amazon description. You should have a nice headline. If you've got a website sales page, you want your headline to grab people and motivate them to want to learn more. So the goal of your headline, you don't have to entertain people. You have to grab them and make them want to learn more. And to do that, you can draw from some proven headline formats that are very straightforward and basic. And I can give you a few examples.
Oh, I'd love you to.
I'll do some for some nonfiction books. One of them would be a problem-solution headline. So think of this headline maybe for a healthcare book of some kind. Reverse your chronic pain without drugs. Okay, well, you've promised the benefit. Okay, I'm going to show you how to reverse your chronic pain without drugs. And by saying, okay, reverse your chronic pain without drugs, people think, oh, I'm interested in that. How do I do that? So you've kind of implied a promise that you're going to show them how to do that somewhere in the body copy. So that could be all you need to do to grab people and get them to want more. A book for people over 50 on how to accumulate wealth or manage money. A headline could be how to build big wealth after age 50. Again, you're implying a benefit or a promise. And it motivates people to think, okay, well, how do I do that? I want to know how. And they'll go down into the body copy to start finding out how. Another thing about these two examples I've given you, and then the next one I'm going to give you, very simple words, very basic, easy to understand, easy to remember. Again, it doesn't have to be razzy jazzy. If you have really a hard time coming up with an idea, here's one you can go to. Go to a reasons why headline or a numbered list headline. Something like, this could be another financial book, 7 Reasons Why Day Trading Can Set You Free. Well, you're implying that day trading can set you free, and I'm going to show you how. Now they have an idea in there that your marketing copy is going to be kind of organized into 7 easy steps to follow. Okay. Another one, a numbered list headline. This could be maybe for a career book. 9 Habits That Lead to Career Fulfillment. What are those habits? You promise people there are 9 habits I can show you. They're going to just, well, I want to know what those 9 habits are. So they're going to jump down into the body copy to find out what they are. And if you're going to use 7 Reasons Why or 9 Habits, if you're going to use a number, a great tip would be to start your headline with that number. Don't put the number in the middle of the headline, or you could put it at the end, but that's kind of hard to do. Always kind of put that number first. And again, you use that number, you want to imply a benefit, like here's a promise I'm making you. Also, by using a number, it lets people know that you're going to present your information in kind of a very organized fashion. And I'll give you one more. This is for an adventure book, let's say a travel book. And this is for a book I actually worked on. I worked with an author who went to what he thought were the most dangerous countries on the planet just to visit them. He got arrested in 3 of them and managed to get out. And his headline was Escape from the Most Dangerous Places on Earth. And that's kind of okay, you're not really making a promise there, but people are going to be curious. Well, what are those most dangerous places and how did you get out of them?
So again, yeah, that curiosity. I mean, that's, yeah, I love it.
Yeah, so these are simple headline types. They're proven formats. They're not zippy or clever or witty or sexy or none of that stuff, but they engage people and they motivate them to want to learn more.
Yeah, and that's really what I wanted to hone in on, the simplicity of each one of those. But you're right, they all beg the question, well, how do you do that? I want to know more. I'd love to talk to you a little bit just and pick your brain on numbers. Are there any specific numbers, for instance, that are more attractive than others? With 3 or 5, you know, I was told like odd numbers are better than even numbers. Is there anything behind that or am I making that up?
I have been told that. I've read that and learned that and talked about people that throughout my career, and everybody says the odd numbers. I wish I could give you a great reason why, but I don't know.
Yeah.
You know? And they say the same thing with bullet points, either use 1, or of course not 1 bullet point, but 3 or 5, you know, use odd numbers, you know.
That's so interesting.
I never really know the odd number thing, but
yeah,
go with an odd number.
Go with an odd number. Yes, yes, yes. Except 100. People like 100, but then they also like 101 or 10. 10 seems to be a good number, you know, like the 10 commandments.
Yeah. And another thing with numbers in your headline is if you have, let's say, 7 or 5 or 9, use the digit. It just grabs people quicker. Now, in English class, we were taught any numbers less than 10 need to be spelled out. And so I've worked with some authors, they're going to put a 9 or a 7 in their headline and they spell it out. And I go, no, you can just use the digit in a headline. It's just going to get people notice it quicker. And they go, well, no, you got to spell it out. And I go, you know, don't worry. Your junior high school English teacher is not going to hunt you down. You can break a couple of grammar rules with marketing copy in general, but especially in a headline with numbers.
I'm going to say just overall, I think English teachers, many of them could be just turning over in their grave to see what comes out now, the conversational type, you know, the way books are written these days. And as you say, the headlines, and yes, it just breaks all the rules.
Yeah, as long as you know what rules you're breaking, that's the old line. As long as you know. And you don't want to hack up the language, but marketing copy is conversational. So you write the way people talk.
Exactly.
You're going to end some sentences with prepositions and split an infinitive here or there.
Let's focus on book covers. Not book covers, back covers. That's what I meant to say. Is there a formula for a back cover that's more attractive than others, or are there certain things on the back of a book that need to be there? Especially, obviously, we focus a lot on nonfiction here. So if we stay with the nonfiction, what do you suggest?
I'll give you a really quick, simple formula. In copywriting, we use what's called a motivating sequence. There's a whole bunch of them, but I'll give you a real quick one. When you start writing your back cover, a great thing to do is after you have that engaging headline, you want to start your copy talking about the reader. And a lot of times authors start talking about themselves, or they really just want to start talking about the book. Talk about a thirst or a need or a challenge that the reader has. For example, if your book is on, we'll go back to that headline, How to Build Big Wealth After Age 50. Someone who's going to read that book, they might be in their 50s thinking, God, I haven't managed my money quite the way I wanted to, or I haven't made enough. I haven't made the most of my career yet. That's a frustration they have, or a need, or an obstacle, or a challenge. Write about that first. Say, you know, have you had a good career, but maybe not managed your money exactly the way you would have liked, or maybe you haven't followed through on your career dreams the way you wish you would have? Well, you still have time. Right away, you talk about the reader. Okay. So you're talking about them instead of yourself. You want to talk about the need or the challenge that they have. And then we have a thing called agitation. You kind of want to amplify that a little bit. The extreme consumer ads we've heard are like, are you tired of being 10 pounds overweight? Are you bummed every spring when you can't put on your best clothes you want to wear? They really kind of rub it in. So you don't really want to rub it in too much, but just recognize the challenge or the need that your audience has and remind them what that need is. Because what that does to the reader, it says, okay, this author's talking about me and they understand the challenge that I have. On a back cover, you may only do that in a sentence or two, but you can do it if you, you know, really work at your copy. Then the next step, step two, is paint a little picture of how life could look if that challenge was met. Just think of, okay, so you just identify maybe somebody hasn't saved enough for retirement yet, but what would life look like if you kind of like shifted gears and made a change and were able to start putting more money away? You'd be able to take that vacation you'd want. You'd be able to go visit the grandkids more often. You'd be able to leave more behind for your grandkids' education. You kind of paint a picture of this is how life could look if that challenge is met. So you start with, here's a challenge you have. Here's how life could look if you meet that challenge. So they go, yeah, that's the challenge I have. Yeah, it would be great if my life looked like that. Now in the back of their mind, they're thinking, tell me how to do that. So then you can go from there to step three and give a little nutshell description of your book, maybe a sentence or two that sums up the primary promise of your book. Then from there, step four, go into some nice bullet point benefit statements. Here's what you're going to gain from reading the book. Okay. Step five, you've answered when people are saying, what's in it for me? You know, what am I going to gain from your book? Well, you've just told them. The next question in their mind is, why should I believe you? Okay. What you want to do below your bullet points, what you could do is have either a nice endorsement that you have. If you've got like from a nice market influencer who's giving you a nice endorsement quote that kind of supports the benefit statements you've made, put it right under your bullet points. Or if you have something about your story, your personal story, and that makes you an expert or gives you really strong credentials, you can use that as your social proof. Or maybe you have some statistics or something like that. After you've made those benefit statements, your next thing you want to do is provide some social proof if you've got it. And that can come in different forms, like I said. And then the next step is to have a strong close. You want to have a nice, good closing one-liner, either reiterate one of the main benefits that you talked about in step four, or maybe set up a revelation, like in addition to the benefits I've already given you, in chapter four, I'm going to reveal three great ideas that will help you get your business started. In fact, you may even want to read that chapter first. It's something to get people inspired and get them pumped up, leave them wanting more so that they go from looking at your back cover copy, now they're going to start looking inside your book. Or if it's your Amazon description, they're going to hit the look inside feature or the buy now button if you've really gotten them excited. That is kind of a little basic, I think I just gave you 5 or 6 step motivating sequence that you can use on your back cover. I've used that sequence many, many times. Think of it as like a recipe. Once you get comfortable with it, then you can kind of maybe mix a couple steps, kind of make that recipe your own and give it your own little individual touch. But that's just kind of a very basic motivating sequence. But I think the two big keys there are to start your back cover talking about the need, challenge, thirst, obstacle that your audience is facing. And then that step four, those benefit-driven bullet points, those quick-hitting, sharp bullet points that really let people know what they're going to gain from your book. So I think if you follow that little formula, you'll be off to a really good start.
Oh, yeah, that's brilliant. I love it. I've never heard it broken down quite that way before. So I really like that recipe. Yeah. Got to listen to that again so that I make sure that I got everything that I needed to there. Then the back cover, would that translate into, let's say, the Amazon description? Or would you have more in that description or less? You know, how does that work?
With a back cover, typically, depending on the size of your book and the graphics that you may have in your back cover, kind of the word count I always go by is 225 to 275 words. That includes your marketing copy, any endorsements you have on there, and also if you have an author bio at the bottom of the back cover. I found with that word count, so split the difference between 225 and 275, that's say 250 words. If you turn that over to a designer, they can fit that comfortably on most back covers without having to make the font size really small or something like that. At 250 words, it fits nice. You can write a very strong message at 250 words. But invariably, when you write your first draft or your second draft, you're going to find, hey, I like this copy, but gee, it's 310 words. Gosh, I have to cut out a bullet point I really like, or some other benefit statement, or I had these really two great endorsements, but I can only use one. You can get a little frustrated. That's part of being a writer. You got to ruthlessly cut your copy to fit the back cover. But save that first draft, that 310-word draft that you really like, save it, because that can be the basis of a really good Amazon description, because you don't have a restricted word count like you do on a back cover. Now, you do have a character count limitation, but the last time I checked, the way I worked it out, it left you enough room for about 600 words or something like that. Now, you may not want to go that long, but that 310-word version of your back cover that you really like, you can definitely use that for your Amazon description. So that's the difference with your Amazon description. You do have some extra room to work with. So if you had three great bullet points you used on your back cover, but you really wanted to use five, you can use five of them on your Amazon description.
Our listeners love mistakes. You alluded to one earlier. What other common mistakes do you see that authors make with this whole process of writing copy, back covers, front covers, descriptions, etc.?
Well, the biggest one is focusing too much on what your book is about instead of what people get out of your book. I'd say razzy jazzy headlines. People want to say a huge one with headlines is they'll want to make a clever statement. I'll give you an example. I worked with an author once who was writing a financial book for kids because, you know, they typically don't teach money in school. And he had a headline, dollars and cents, one doesn't come with the other. And he spelled cents, S-E-N-S-E, like, you know, brain sense. So he thought that was kind of witty, dollars and cents, one doesn't come with the other. And I says, yeah, that's kind of clever, but it's just a clever statement. It doesn't necessarily drive people down into your body copy. So what we came up with was, seven things every high school kid should know about money. Much more simple, but like people are going to think, gee, what are those seven things? And it's going to motivate them to go into the copy. So that's a big mistake. And again, focusing on what your book is about instead of how people benefit from the book. I'd say probably the big one is the authors don't identify the challenge of their reader. They don't write enough about their reader. They talk about themselves too much. So what you want to do is spot check your copy. When you write your marketing copy, and I call it, give it the I test or the we test. If it's a, you know, do you find your too many of your sentences starting with the word I or the word we? You know, if you're writing as a team or you're writing about your company or something like that, you'll often see if your marketing copy starts off in the first four sentences, three of them start with the word I, you need to rework your copy. So you're talking about your audience instead of you.
Yeah, that's so key. And I know this for speakers, and you go to a speaker website and it's all about, I do this and I've done that and I've spoken here and I've spoken with this person. And it's like, who cares? What can you do for me? Like you're going back to what's in it for me. Yes.
Right about that, you start off with, here's the challenge that you face. Here's how your life could look if you overcome that challenge. And then if you do that people go, okay, the author relates to how I feel. They know what I'm going through and they know what I want to achieve. And now they're on the edge of their seat. Now they want you to tell them how they can achieve that. But you have to start off by talking about them first.
Yeah, that's so key. Thank you. Casey, how can our listeners find out more about you and what you do and your book?
You can go to caseydemchak.com. And if that's too hard to spell or they don't have it in front of them, you can go to caseycopy.com and it'll redirect you to caseydemchak.com. And I've got programs on my site that teach authors how to write marketing copy. So you can check those out. I've got a free ebook you can download. I'm always putting some goodies up there. I've got a YouTube channel. You can find me on YouTube at youtube.com/caseydemchak. I got a lot of training videos up there. You can check out, and even from there, you can link to an ebook that I'm happy to give you called 7 Must-Know Copywriting Secrets to Sell More Books. Kind of my little formula is I've got some free stuff that gives you a lot of good general information about how to write better book marketing copy. And if you were to look at any of my paid programs, it would be more specific formulas for writing back cover copy, Amazon descriptions, first person interactive author bio pages, and other marketing materials.
Yeah, I know you're very generous with your information, so thank you. And that free ebook is well worth getting, listeners. I got a copy after I heard Casey speak at a summit, and it's dynamite. Fabulous. Casey, if you were to leave our listeners with a golden nugget, what would that be?
I'd say the golden nugget is, and I'm going to be repeating myself a little bit, but to really focus your marketing copy on what people will gain from reading your book. Again, you know, if like I gave you that little formula, if it sounds kind of complicated and you're thinking, just give me something simple, write marketing copy that lets people know how they will benefit from reading your book. If you let people know how they'll benefit from reading your book, they'll know what your book is about. It'll be very, very clear what your book is about. I've worked with authors who I gave them that one tip and they go, okay, I don't need you anymore. I'll do that. They didn't worry about a motivating sequence or a formula. They just started writing, here's what you'll gain from my book. That's just a simple mindset thing, is to focus on that one point and you'll be in really good shape.
Yeah, that's dynamite. Thank you. And thank you so much for sharing all this great wisdom, listeners. Like with so many of our guests, you're going to have to go back and listen to this over and over again to really absorb all the different great golden nuggets throughout this interview. So, Casey, thank you. And thank you all for taking time out of your precious day to listen to this interview. And I sincerely hope that it sparked some ideas you can use to sell more books. Here's wishing you much book and author marketing success.
The time is now to take action and finally build your book-selling empire. And the great news is that Susan is here to help you. Visit bookmarketingmentors.com and sign up for a free 15-minute book marketing strategy session with Susan. She'll help you discover your first steps to marketing and selling your book. Only those who take action are rewarded, so visit bookmarketingmentors.com, and we'll see you again next week.